Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, to come and go freely, worship the Lord, answer the call of our heart to the Sabbath, which is far more powerful than we know. It's working a good work in us. So let's just pause, and I'd like to just pray. Thank you, Al, for that prayer, but I'm going to ask Abba. Father, we just lift up our hearts to you this morning because we stand in the reverence of your presence, your power, and your word. And we ask to be transformed, Lord. We ask to be changed into the image of Jesus. And we know that it is your will and your good purpose to do so. So we just embrace that this morning. Father, I pray that there will be a word, prophetic and powerful, imparted to each heart this morning. You will make a visitation over their lives and show them how much you love them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh, hang on one second. I'm going to need some glasses. I knew I forgot something. My brain was trying to tell me, and I just couldn't remember. Well, we are going to wrap up something we started a little while ago, a teaching I did called Foolish or Faithful. And, beloved, I got to apologize a little because I really took us down into the pit of the cistern with that one. Because it's not fun to really look into Proverbs at what the Lord says is substandard behavior. It's just not fun, right? And I felt a bit, you know, there's part of me that wants to apologize for that sermon because I felt a bit like you all came to me with your eager, happy faces and you said, Crystal, can you help me build a garden that will be just beautiful? And I said, love to. And then I took my big tandem dump truck and I backed it right into your backyard and dumped a fresh, still steaming, reeking load of fresh manure on your backyard. And you're like, what the what, girl? Like, what was that? What a stench. Now, being foolish, which is the equivalent to the manure, is not going to prosper you. But, however, having a knowledge of the difference between what is real wisdom and what is foolishness. Now that, beloved, is going to be the fertilizer that grows you a beautiful garden in the Lord. So let's get on our little galoshes this morning and get our shovels and bust that thing up because it's starting to stink a little bit. So you'll thank me later. So we left this teaching with a very strong injunction from Jesus through in the words of wisdom. This is the in Proverbs. If you read Proverbs as if it's Jesus speaking to you, you'd be amazed at how it will touch your heart. And he says this, forsake the foolish and live. And it says go in the original King James Version, but the word that's used for go is a different word that is normally used, and it actually means to advance and prosper in the way of understanding. That's Proverbs 9. So even as far back as the Proverbs, we find the promise of the Spirit and endowments of wisdom that are going to navigate us through life. And really, there's two ways to learn about these things. First of all, you can just plunge headlong into life and grind your way through it and make mistakes and pick yourself up, and we call it experience. Or there's a second way. Place the word of God, grow up in the word of God, and follow the word of the Lord, and spend time in prayer and other Christian disciplines, and you can save yourself a lot of trouble. That's wisdom. And one is a lot less painful than the other, but both take time. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. And that's a promise of the Spirit even way back through Solomon and Ecclesiastes. So before we delve into the other half of our equation, we really put foolishness under a microscope last time. But before we delve into faithfulness, it's been a minute, so let's just review the definitions of foolishness. According to Proverbs, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, anger, wrath, short temper, negative attitudes, pride, ego, arrogance, self-importance, vanity, these things out of control, not having good self-control, deception, falsity, dissimulation, hypocrisy, or just playing the game instead of being honest, just being politically correct, just running along, seeing what you can get away with, contempt, scorn, mockery, not treating things with the proper honor that God places on things and people, meddling, drama, gossip, being a busybody. You just got to be into stuff that's none of your business. Foolish. Ignorance, naivety, credulity, not knowing and making mistakes out of your ignorance. Holding grudges, resentment, offense, unforgiveness, refusing to let the grace of God and the Spirit of God heal you from the bashes and the battling around of life, and just holding on to that stuff. And defiance of authority, a major one. I'm not listening to nobody. Nobody's telling me what to do. Bad companionships. Yeah, I know that person's not so great, but I like him. I grew up with him. We've all been the victims of foolishness, whether it was in ourselves or in others. And the problem is that we live in this tension of believing in a kingdom of God, in a kingdom of goodness, but we live in a world of toil, trouble, contrariness, insecurity, and downright danger. And somewhere between those two things, we have to navigate. And it can be a bit difficult. The scripture says, the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. Or to the logical ones, as they call themselves. That's 1 Corinthians 1. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the really interesting thing is, even though we studied foolishness in Proverbs, most of the world thinks we're the fools. And to the majority of the world, being a God-fearing person and actively seeking to walk in righteousness is foolish behavior. We're the ones who look like fools. We're the ones who carry the contempt and the stigma. Most of us, truly, as believers, you know, usually when it's pointed out to us or the Holy Spirit convicts us, we'll try to deal with our foolish behavior. We really are trying to grow in grace. But the place where we might be falling down, the place where foolishness is a little more subtle, it's a little more overt, is when we compare our lives to the prospering of pagans and unbelievers around us, and all we can do is scratch our heads as to why we're not seeing the same prosperity they are in their gross impiety. Sometimes that's the place of my foolishness. I find it a hard pill to swallow. Where is the blessing of Abraham? Aren't we promised the blessing of Abraham? And you know what? The psalmist struggled with it too. Of course, there's a psalm. You knew there was. And it's Psalm 73, and I encourage you in your devotions sometime this week. I'm plucking key scriptures out for the sake of time. So go back, read the whole thing, and put it in context. Your teacher would appreciate that. Psalm 73, truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Thus my heart was grieved, I was vexed in my mind. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Maybe it's just me, but I can certainly relate to the psalmist and his words. And this is written by a saint, I think it's a Psalm of Asaph, being brutally honest about his reactions to the fools and the outright wicked around him. He's fed up and he's ready to walk away from the faith. He's saying out loud what most of us have felt at one time or another. We all have coworkers, family members, relatives, people we grew up with, who hold our lives in Christ in contempt and think the decisions that we made, some of them were just downright stupid. We have to interact with them every day and try to love them with the love of the Lord while they're calling us down. We have to put up with what they dish out, with what they're boasting about. We all have our moments when the unfairness of life gets us down, and we find ourselves envying the ease of the wicked. We feel the inequity of life. We burn with outrage at what other people just seem to be getting away with. They have no qualms. They have no scruples. They have no accountability. I can do whatever I want. And we are faced with the disappointment, disillusionment, discouragement, same old, same old. So when I see the foolish, why should I jump into their mess at my own expense when they have no sympathy for the war I'm fighting? Why shouldn't I just avoid them altogether? Why should I have compassion and go out of my way to help? Why should I make your life better when you're making my life hell?